Why don't we pray as we come and look at this passage? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true, profoundly true. And please help me to explain it well, and please help us to understand what is being said. Amen. There's fires up in the Blue Mountains at the moment, so it's not particularly great for bushwalking. But when people do go bushwalking, every year it seems that people get lost. We all hear about it, and sometimes from our place we can see the helicopters flying overhead as they're looking for lost people. They tend to get lost a little bit more around the Wentworth Falls, Katoomba area. And it's quite a big job, isn't it, to look for those people. They can be lost for days, and unfortunately one or two people haven't come back. They've been that lost. But on the whole, people who are lost are usually found. What's lost, people that are lost, are found after considerable effort. I was reading another article about Vietnam, and there was two or three men, I think it were, or a family lost in Vietnam for 40 years. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that? They wandered around, it's a true story, they wandered around in the bush, in the wilderness, in the jungle of Vietnam for 40 years, just living on what they could find and drinking water out of the streams and so forth, right? And they were eventually stumbled on by somebody else, and the circumstances of their becoming lost was discovered, and it turned out they'd been lost for 40 years, and by accident, they had been found. It's an incredible story, isn't it? I lost my son once. We were shopping down the shops, I think, couldn't find him. Have you ever had that sort of that empty feeling when you've lost one of your children? Well, we lost Matthew, I think it was, for a short time. And so we looked high and low. We did find him eventually. And I think we've been pretty happy about that ever since. When I take my boys out, Jeanette always wants me to bring three home. She doesn't want one lost. What was lost, one of our boys was found. Well, here in Luke 15, Jesus tells a story, and he tells two parables about being lost and being found. And I hope you've got your Bible open. It's a parable, two parables, one of the lost sheep and one of the lost coin. Let me read that first parable to you. And we've just had it read, but it'd be good just to hear it again. And I'll just read from verse 3. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. It's a simple story, isn't it? And it's one, though, that would have made a lot of sense to the people in Jesus' day, for they had sheep. You know that there's no sheep in the Solomon Islands, so when I came to speak about this passage, they had no first-hand experience of sheep, and most of them had only seen a picture of a sheep. When I was in Uganda, though, it's a little bit different. They have sheep over there, and one of the Ugandan ministers came to Australia once, and he couldn't get over the number of sheep that we have in Australia. He said, "Mark, in Uganda, there is one sheep, one person, but in Australia, there is one sheep, the one person, thousands of sheep." He couldn't get over the scale of it all. Well, here in Luke 15, for someone to have 100 sheep was a considerable number to look after in this society. And one of these sheep goes missing, and the shepherd goes out and he goes looking for the lost sheep until he finds it. And when he finds it, he doesn't hit over the head and say, "You stupid sheep, where are you?" Right? He thinks there's much joy, and he puts the sheep on his shoulders, right? He doesn't even let the sheep walk home, but puts it on his shoulders so the sheep doesn't have to walk. And he carries the sheep home, and then he calls all his friends and neighbours together, and they have a big party. "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." And the sinner who repents, Jesus is saying, is like a lost sheep who is found. Then there is the second story, the parable of the lost coin, verse 8. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." And in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God, over one sinner who repents. So here's a woman. She has 10 silver coins. One silver coin is worth about a day's wages over there. So it's a lot of money, isn't it? I wouldn't want to lose a day's wages. So she loses this coin and she goes looking for it. And she literally turns the place upside down. We tend to do that a lot around our place, looking for boys' things. And this woman, well, she's lost something of value and she's turning the place upside down. And she searches carefully until she finds this coin. And when she finds it, like the shepherd, she's also filled with lots of joy. So she calls her friends and neighbors together, and she says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin," that something that meant a lot to her. Well, she's taken the effort, she's gone out after it, she's taken the initiative. You know, she's looked under the bed and in the toaster and everywhere she could find until she's found this lost coin. And Jesus says the sinner who repents is like a lost coin who is found. And so the questions are obvious, aren't they? Are you like a lost sheep? Are you like a lost coin? Are you lost? But you're not lost, are you? You're sitting here listening to a crusty old man give a talk. But this passage says that if you don't know whose you belong to, you don't know who you are, then you are lost because you are a sinner. And perhaps, remember here in verse 15, it's introduced the parables, the setting here is the righteousness of the Pharisees. And perhaps you are so self-righteous that you don't even realize that you are lost and need finding. Are you lost? Do you need finding? And Jesus is saying that the Father is out there looking for you. I mean, the shepherd, he's got 99 other sheep. Let's let one sheep go. What does it matter? Probably wasn't worth much on the free trade agreement now, was it? So just let the one sheep go. I've got 99. I'll just be content with that. And those other 99 sheep, well, they're so cute and cuddly, aren't they? So why put myself out and look for the other sheep? I've got lots of wool there. I look after them. They're nice. It's nice sitting under the tree watching the 99 sheep graze. Isn't that terrific? The one, maybe it'll find itself home. Might come back eventually. But if it doesn't, well, what does it really matter? Well, the shepherd doesn't think like that at all, does he? No, he leaves the 99 sheep who are found and he goes looking for the one lost sheep. And we see here that he goes to considerable effort to find that lost sheep. He looks and looks and looks until he finds it. Why? Because that one lost sheep is incredibly important. The shepherd loves the sheep who is lost. He loves all his sheep, of course, but he loves the sheep who is lost. So he puts himself out. He goes out looking for the sheep, right, until he finds it. And the shepherd, we are reminded, is like God. God notices that you are lost, notices that people are lost, that you are lost, that you are like that one lost sheep, and he goes looking for you until he finds you. And the shepherd is looking for you because you are a sinner. That's why the shepherd's looking for you. That's why the Father is looking for you, because you are a sinner. It's like that in the next story, isn't it? The woman, loses that valuable coin and she looks everywhere until it's found. Well, she could have just said, well, the coin will show up eventually, won't it? I know I've lost it at home. It's like our place, some things just eventually pop up. You don't look for them because in 3 or 4 days, I lost my watch once. It took my wallet actually. It took 3 months, I think, before it turned up. Right, I just had that attitude. But the woman's not like that at all, right? She puts her nose to the floor. She goes looking for it, and she looks everywhere until it's found, because that coin is valuable. And she's not happy until it's found. The woman is like God, right? You are a great worth to God because you are lost. Of great worth. God is looking for you because you are a sinner. God is looking for sinners who are lost
right? He loves you. He cares for you. And you are valuable to God, even though you are a sinner. So who is a sinner? What does a sinner look like? I mean, it's here used in the passage, isn't it, right? It's, you know, in verse 7, for instance, right? You know, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. But what does a sinner look like? Yeah. Are you a sinner? Although we're not directly told in this passage, Luke makes it clear elsewhere in his gospel what a sinner is. And we learn that a sinner has darkness in his or her heart. A sinner follows the ways of this world. A sinner is like a dead body with no life at all. And I'd be very surprised to see a dead body hop up. And I'm sure you would. Well, that's what a sinner's like. A sinner's like a dead body with no spark of life. A sinner is held captive by the spirit world, by the spirit of this world, and by Satan himself. A sinner is a person in enslavement, in bondage, in chains, unable to free themselves, unable to even recognize that they are lost and that they need finding. But and all this is very bad, of course. But you know what the worst thing is about being a sinner? What fundamentally makes sin sin is this. For a sinner is a person who rejects the rightful rule of God over them. A sinner is a person who says, I want to live my life my way. Forget about God. I can be the king of my world, right, and live in this universe as though God does not exist. A sinner may even think that they're good enough to go to heaven, that, you know, on the balance of, you know, of life, on the good versus bad scales, that a sinner might think, a bit like a Pharisee, that I'm righteous enough just to get myself over the line. A sinner, though, doesn't think that they're lost. You know, does a sheep know they're lost? The sheep just sort of wandered away. It's a dumb sheep. Sheep just wanders around. It's got no knowledge. It's lost. I've never known a sheep to put its paw up and say, I'm lost. I need rescuing. It just wouldn't happen, would it? Right? A sheep's a dumb animal, right? It's lost. And a coin. Well, a coin's a thing. A thing doesn't know it's lost. The coin doesn't sort of sit behind the TV saying, look, I'm lost, please find me. It's a ridiculous proposition, isn't it? It's a coin. It doesn't know it's lost. Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner who is lost? Well, let me tell you something about sinners if you haven't already realized it. Sinners cannot save themselves. Sinners cannot save themselves from God's anger against them. Sinners cannot save themselves from the stench of the grave. Sinners cannot save themselves and from the prospect of hell. You can't save yourself from the power and the penalty of sin. So what should a sinner do? Well, it's there, isn't it, in verses 7 and 10. You'll see it there. A sinner is called to repent in verse 7. A sinner is called to repent in verse 10. This is what a sinner must do. This is why Jesus is speaking these words, particularly to the righteous, you know, those dumb sheep who think they are found and they're actually lost. Right? A sinner must repent. Repent means saying sorry to God. Oh, but it means more than that. It means promising not to be a dumb sheep. It means admitting that you are lost and that you need rescuing. Repenting means changing your life, turning yourself around. It means realizing that you are lost, that you cannot run your life your way, you know, that you're a mess before God, and you deserve his righteous anger upon you and his judgment. Well, in judgment, where will you stand? If you're going to put your hand up and rely upon your own righteousness, well, then you'll be an utter mess, won't you? Repent means asking Jesus to save you and then making Jesus your king. Now, I don't know whether you've done that, right? But if you haven't, this is what you've got to do. Ask King Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to find you and bring you home. He gave his life in order to bring you home. The Good Shepherd died so that you could be found and have life in your kingdom. The Good Shepherd loves you, and he wants to, as it were, put you on his shoulders and carry you home. So it's as simple as putting your hand up and asking Jesus to save you. It's as simple as wanting to let Jesus be your Saviour and your King. And when you repent, when you are found, heaven rejoices, as we see in these verses. Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. But friends, there's another application here too, that we as a church are called to be like the Father. You know, the Father didn't sit around. The shepherd just didn't sit around, you know, enjoying life with the other sheep. You know, he just didn't sit there under the tree, surfing on his mobile phone and enjoying life. You know, the shepherd just didn't say, enjoy all the benefits of being a shepherd and just sort of stay at home and not worry about the sheep. No, God's not like that, is it? No, God wants us to be out there looking for lost sheep. We need to have the heart of the Father. We need to be out there, right, searching for those who are lost, that we are called by our Father to go out into the world. And yes, it was terribly inconvenient for the shepherd to do that, wasn't it? Horribly inconvenient. And he worried about the sheep he'd left behind, I'm sure. Right, but he didn't stop until he found the lost sheep. And friends, isn't our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father's like that, and he calls us also to be like this. In our church, they can be little ghettos at times, can't they? The 99 sheep are here, and they all talk to one another, and we're all comfortable, and life's rosy, and life just sails on. It's good grazing on the grass, isn't it? It's comfortable and terrific. But what about the one lost sheep out there? What about that lost sheep? If we were to take a survey of churches, let's just say Presbyterian churches, right? I wonder how many churches could say that they've been out there looking for lost sheep, right? And as a result, they've had numerical growth in their church because of people who are lost are now found. I wonder how many churches could say that that's actually happening amongst them. And so here, friends, it's just not for those who are lost. Please put your hand up. The Father is looking for you. He'll find you. Right? But this is a message for all of us, for the church, right? To get out there, right? To get out there and to look for those who are lost. Or the invaluable coin. We are to be like the woman. The woman thought that lost coin was valuable. Committee management had all the money the coin that was lost was of great value, of great value. And friends, those people who are lost are of great value to God, great value. There's no room for Christian snobbery here, is there? We're the chosen one. I mean, that's just, we need to get out there, right, and get into the world, right, because those who are lost are valuable to the Father, and they need to be lost. They need to hear the gospel. They need to hear about repentance and faith. And they need to be brought home. So I think there's challenges here for all of us in this Luke 15 passage, isn't there? What are we doing? What are we doing? And friends, the motivation isn't a guilt trip. Notice that the shepherd here didn't feel guilty. And the woman didn't feel guilty and was racked with guilt. So they went out and found the coin or the sheep. Right, the motivation was love, wasn't it? The motivation was love. And so when the sheep was found, it was a loving response. The sheep didn't even have to walk home. How's that? The motivation is love, not guilt, that the Father has called us to be like this. And we are to get out there as best we can, right, and look for those who are lost. And maybe you are lost this morning. Maybe, I don't know, you've been coming to church for 30 or 40 years. I knew a man who came along to church for most of his life. And he would have been in his 70s. He made a commitment. He realized that he was lost and he needed finding. So I'm going to pray a prayer. It's a prayer, something like this is familiar to many of us, but maybe you haven't prayed it. and made this your own. So let's pray. Let's end this talk by praying, and I'll pray this way. Dear God, I am lost and I need finding because I am a sinner. I'm sorry I am lost and that I wandered away from you. Thank you for sending Jesus to look for me. Please forgive me for being lost, and I ask that you accept me into your eternal kingdom. I know you will accept me because Jesus died to get me home. I want to make the one who found me my king. I want to live each day for Jesus, and I look forward to the day when I'll see him face to face. Amen.